Hello and thank you for listening to episode 631 of 60MW. I'm Dave and this is another of our interview shows. Yes, you heard that right, an interview show. Something I haven't done for almost a year. Can you believe that? I can't. I looked and the previous interview show that was released was on the 19th of May 2025 when I interviewed Uwe Boll. That doesn't seem like a year ago. Regular listeners, you will know more than likely the reason why it's been that long. 2025 was not a very good year, as was the beginning of 2026. But that has all turned around now, and things are looking a lot better on a personal front and for the podcast as well, because lately, as hopefully you have noticed, we've been ramping up the shows once again, as we will continue to do for the rest of this year and many years beyond. Well, as you would already have seen from the title of this particular episode, I'm having a chat with Frank Hannon, the co-founder and guitarist of Tesla, a band that I've been a fan of for over 40 years. So you can well imagine how excited I was when I recorded. I was a little bit rusty, I think. You can find out for yourself. Let me know. I felt I was a little bit rusty. A little bit rusty and a little bit excited. A year since doing an interview show and chatting to a guy who I've listened to and admired for many years. Tesla, their upcoming album, Homage, is released on July the 17th via Frontiers Records. If you listen to the Soundcheck 'Em Out shows that I do, you'd have heard me mention that label many times before. Their new single, Spread Your Wings, is out on the 18th of May, so watch out for that one. And as always, like I say in the Soundcheck 'Em Out shows, support these bands, buy their music, go and see them live, buy their merch, spread the word about them, tell your friends. It's all good. So all that's left to say is sit back, relax, and get comfortable as I have a little chat with Frank Hannon. Frank, thank you for giving me your time this evening. I am incredibly excited to chat with you, so thank you so much for this.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's good to be on your program and be on your show. And, you know, it's hard to believe it's been over 40 years that we've been making records and traveling around and playing music. It's crazy. 40 years. So we'll try to consolidate 40 years into 30 minutes.
Well, let's go back 40 years, because I've just made one of the bullet points I made was when I first saw you guys was on the 4th of September, 1987. It was at the Manchester Apollo over here in the UK, and you were supporting Def Leppard on their Hysteria tour. Now, I was already a fan of yours already. So when you were announced as the support for Def Leppard, I was over the moon about it. So, I mean,
we were too.
What do you remember from that tour? Was that would have been your first tour over here in the UK?
Yeah. Yes, I believe it was the first one. It's all a blur now. We may have done a tour ourselves at the Marquee. I think we headlined. We did some headlining dates there before we did the Def Leppard thing. A very short run, if I remember correctly, because I have some photographs of us at the Marquee Club. Oh. And I know Def Leppard wasn't at the Marquee Club with us. So, but that was in London. And what an honor to play the Marquee. I mean, that was really, for us, a big deal. But Def Leppard, we were such fans of theirs. You know, we used to cover a lot of the songs from the High and Dry album and even their first album as kids, you know, Wasted and Rock Brigade and that stuff, you know. So being fans of them and very similar in style with the twin guitars and the songwriting, it meant the world to us. And so when we were managed by the same people and they picked us to go on the tour to the UK, it was just such a launching pad for us as a young band. And it still is. The Def Leppard has been such great friends and mentors to us as a band. And they really launched our career in a lot of ways. I'm very grateful to them.
And you were a young band still at this point? I mean, you were a young band when you made Mechanical Resonance, which, by the way, is one of my all-time favorite albums. It's superb.
You know, thank you. It's one of my all-time favorite albums and Tesla albums as well. And very young, myself personally, I was always the youngest guy in the band. I left school when I was 15 and Brian was 18, and he and I were the core of it. And we put the different guys together that it ultimately became Tesla. But writing those songs like Modern Day Cowboy and Changes and those songs as a 17-year-old kid, when I look back at that now, I'm like, wow, holy cow, that was crazy, you know? And we got signed when I was 18. The other guys were a little bit older than me, in their early 20s. Went to New York to record Mechanical Resonance when I was 19. And wow. Went on tour with Def Leppard when I was 20. And looking back now, 20 years old is definitely a young lad, man. No doubt. You're very, very scared and like, wow, what's going on, you know?
Did you ever get fazed by anything at that point when you're out on your tour? Because I know you'd done Earthshaker and City Kid, which then came into being Tesla. So, I mean, what places were you playing when you were Earthshaker and City Kid? They were
Well, we started off playing just like every garage band. You go from the garage to the parties, the backyard parties, to what we call hall parties, where it's like there's a bigger room that's rented for a party. And then you go from there to the nightclubs. And then in the nightclubs, you have to keep people dancing on the dance floor in order to get the job. So you have to learn top 40 music, mm-hmm. and you balance your original songs with the cover songs. And that's kind of been how we have done it forever, is balancing our original music and our cover, our love of playing cover tunes. And we did that in the nightclubs. And then one thing led to another. Ronnie Montrose came and saw us. We had a manager who was really driven. He was a race car driver, this guy. His name was Steve Klausman. And he had a pit crew, so he knew how to put together a team. And he was a driven guy, and he drove us and sent us to Guam, and we played on the island of Guam, writing songs and playing cover tunes. And then we came back and went to LA to try to make a record. And it was just one thing after another. And it all worked out. By the time 1985 came and 86, we had gotten signed to Geffen Records, and bam, one thing after another, boom, 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 boom. And when you're 20 years old, like I was, you're just playing your guitar and going for it. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that must have been wild. I couldn't even imagine handling something like that when I was 20 at all. I mean, because when I watched you guys, I'm just a year older than you, Frank, and I'm watching you, and I'm just stood there in amazement that, you know, you're there with the guitar and this amazing album that I've had on constant repeat on my turntable is going on, and then, wow, like, you know, looking at you. You're younger than me. Look at you.
Yeah, I feel very blessed that I discovered guitar at a very young age. You know, music in general has been such a great joy and a saving grace in my life, for sure. As a 10-year-old kid, discovering it in 1976 to now, here we are, 2026. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Still doing it and still getting to talk to people overseas like yourself. It's just amazing.
Oh, it's great. I mean, because your music throughout, from, you know, Mechanical Resonance on, and your solo stuff, it's stood the test of time because it's bloody good music. And I thought, even going back then, I thought it was always unfair with Tesla how in the music press you were lumped in as with, you know, hair metal back then and glam rock and all of that. And, you know, for me,
well, we had loud guitars, and I think the whole era was lumped in, the whole 80s band, whether you were hair metal or if you were Flock of Seagulls or whatever you were. The 80s decade is just categorized as a glam thing. But the difference I feel for us and a lot of other great bands is we were taught and advised to stay true to songwriting. Mm-hmm. Songwriting is is key. And Jeff Keith, our singer, really always was very much a stickler on writing lyrics that weren't cheesy, you know?
Yeah.
Writing lyrics about heartfelt emotion. And I think that's what allowed us to stand the test of time, really.
Yeah.
Because that 80s decade, like you said, was unfair.
It was unfair.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun, but it was unfair, yeah.
And you were saying with lyrics, it's one of my favorite songs, one of my favorite Tesla songs. One of my favorite songs is Changes. And as I've got older, you know, the lyrics to that song mean even more as I've gotten older as well. And I think with a lot of the songs, as you get older and things happen in your life, you listen to them and they mean different things to you as you go on as well.
It's true. And at the time, we didn't realize how relevant some of those lyrics are. Like even in modern day cowboy, the USA, the USSR with their six guns to their side, you know, and we're still worrying about that stuff today, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's been quite an adventure. And we're putting out a new album with one new original Tesla song and a homage to some great songs. Speaking of songwriting, the songs that we're doing on this new Tesla album are very diverse and different than you would normally expect.
It's really good. I was lucky enough to be sent an advanced copy, so of course I've been listening to it. And yeah, it's another killer album. I was just looking at the date because the next single, Spread Your Wings, is out on the 18th. So yeah, just a few days from when we're recording on the 14th.
Yes, sir. Spread Your Wings is actually the first song that I believe might have triggered this whole project. Brian Wheat and Jeff Keith have been wanting to sing that song forever. I mean, we've been talking about doing Spread Your Wings for ages.
Wow.
And, you know, because of the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a cool story about Sammy Was Low just watching the show. It's about a young musician who wants to go out and do his thing and break out of his grind. And, you know, that's the kind of underdog message that we've always gravitated towards, you know, so, that song, and then the Elvis Presley song with, you know, If I Could Dream, it's like another message of hope that, Jeff Keith loves those things when he sings, you know?
And I think we all need those messages of hope as well with everything that's going on across the world, you know?
Yeah, always, man. That's what we have taken the position of as a band and as artists, is writing songs with those positive messages, because there's so much negativity in the world already. So Tesla tries to contribute an escape of positive vibes.
Has your songwriting process changed over the years? Do you still put together, you know, your music the way that you used to when you were, you know, 20?
No, there's not a real formula for the songwriting process. There's multiple ways that songs do come together. It usually will start off with a guitar or a piano and a guy playing it. And it really depends on our lead singer with Tesla to gravitate and feel what we're conveying musically. But in the old days, it would be more of us getting together as a band in a bedroom, you know, jamming, or in a garage. Now it's us getting together via emails or texts, you know, or Zooms or sound checks, actually. And, you know, one of the great things that we've learned is we can actually record and write and be very creative on the road with laptop computers and cell phones. You don't need to just wait to get into a studio. So technology has helped us a lot in that regard for songwriting.
Yeah. I mean, if you showed 20-year-old you what you're doing now and the way that you're using technology, it must seem, I've seen something like out of a science fiction movie, because it's progressed so much.
Boy, you're not kidding. And it's done these different waves. 20-year-old me had a 4-track Fostex little cassette tape recorder. And boy, I thought that was cutting edge at the time, you know, being able to overdub an acoustic guitar on top of an electric guitar, overdubbing. And then, you know, the reel-to-reels and all that came in, and then for us, and then the computer age. And it's come all the way now to a cell phone. And my latest solo album, I recorded on my cell phone with an app, literally with a little microphone and an app called Audigo. And I recorded all 12 songs on that. And it eventually ended up on my 12-inch vinyl.
Wow.
Yeah, every track on this vinyl album was recorded on a cell phone. So, yeah, it's mind-blowing what has become. And I believe the cell phone, iPhone in particular, has really changed the whole world with photography, videography, editing, social media, communication. And what's ironic about that is Nikola Tesla was the one back in the 1800s who said, one of these days we'll have a handheld device that could transmit photographs instantly. He envisioned that. It's crazy.
That is crazy. And here we are talking to each other, looking at each other on video, different sides of the planet, and just taking it for granted.
And I have a whole album on this little thumb drive. It used to take big reels of tape, you know.
Yeah. It's good as well that vinyl seems to be coming back a bit more as well after, you know, spending that period where it disappeared and it was all just MP3s, that physical media again seems to be having a bit of a comeback.
Well, yeah, it does. And a lot of it was for convenience. And I think, you know, everything kind of disappeared again because of the cell phone and the convenience of being able to just listen and download your music without having an object. But us being, us human beings being creatures with hands, we want to hold something. So being able to hold the artwork and to see it and feel it is something that I think we were longing for again. And there is something about the sound of the needle in that vinyl material.
Oh yeah.
It has a girthiness to it that just feels good in the chest and the bass that cannot be replicated. And so I'm really glad that vinyl has made a comeback.
Oh yeah. And you've got to set aside time to listen to it. It's not with an MP3, anything on your phone, for example, and you could be walking around, you could be driving the car and listening. With vinyl, you put aside that bit of time, you drop the needle, put the headphones on. I always put the headphones on with putting a vinyl record on. And you can't... you could skip, but I mean, lifting the needle. You listen to the songs in the order that the artist wanted them to be put in. And you listen to that, which is far better than just...
It's more of a ceremonial event when you're doing it. And it forces you to go into that mode. And it's a very relaxing thing, you know. Yeah, it's very cool. I'm so glad that people are appreciating that again.
Oh, definitely. And you mentioned about with Jeff, with the vocals, this album is a real, really good showcase for his vocals.
Well, that was the concept. Homage, the word itself, the title, it is paying respect to singers. The concept came from Freddie Mercury, Elvis Presley. The singers that we're covering on here are the best singers of, you know, of all time. And so was the idea of paying homage to vocalists and ultimately paying homage to our own vocalist, Jeff Keith, and his ability, even at 68 years old, to be able to sing such diversity between Freddie Mercury and James Brown and Bob Seger. I mean, you know, and he's such a blast to record. He came over to my house and we set up a microphone in my home studio right here where we are. And we recorded, you know, the Lynyrd Skynyrd song. And then the next day we recorded, you know, the John Fogerty and the Bob Seger's music. It's like, and I've been recording Jeff since I was, you know, back in the four-track days that we talked about earlier, in my bedroom. He's just able to open his mouth and sing so naturally. And it's a lot of fun to capture that on a recording. And that's what we did with this new album.
I think that comes across as well, that you guys had fun making it.
And when you've got a set list of songs that are this diverse between James Brown and the Temptations, it's like, you got to have fun with that. I mean, come on.
Yeah. How can you not with those songs? How did you go about picking which songs to include? And you must have had somewhere that nearly made the cut, but didn't.
Well, it would start off with Brian Wheat and myself talking and making lists of who we thought were some of the greatest singers of all time. And of course, Freddie Mercury and Elvis Presley were the impetus of the beginning of the concept. And then I mentioned Bob Seger, you know, and I mentioned John Fogerty. And people like that. And then, so we would make a list and then we would run it by Jeff Keith and see what he thought. And, you know, maybe out of a list of 20, it got narrowed down to 12. And it always comes back to whether or not Jeff Keith can feel it.
Yeah.
And loves it. If Jeff Keith gets excited about it, that's usually when it's going to work. And that goes true with our songwriting and our original songs as well. You know, if I write a song or a riff on the guitar and Jeff Keith gets excited about it, we're going to have a song. So that's how that works.
And you guys were out on the road soon as well. Are you going to hopefully play quite a few of these songs out on the road?
Well, we are sandwiched right in between Motley Crue and Extreme. Mm-hmm. And we have a very short set. So we're going to be playing all of our best Tesla classics. And I'm hoping we can play at least one song from this new album. And I'm hoping that it's going to be Never Alone, which is our original contribution to the album, mm-hmm. original Tesla song. Or, man, Spread Your Wings would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun as well. So we're going to hopefully slip in some numbers. And we're also notorious for changing our set list around too. So we may even do that as the tour progresses.
How's it going with new Tesla material? Anything on the horizon for a new album?
Well, the latest new thing is Never Alone.
Mm.
That came about very effortlessly. So I don't know. We don't have any other new songs at this point, but based on how Never Alone came together, I'm sure it's going to be easy to put together some new songs when we're on the road. And the one thing we have discovered is that we can work on music in the dressing room and on the road. Whereas before we used to think we couldn't do that, but now we've learned that we can.
No, that's good.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I've got my fingers crossed. Definitely. I'm always hoping for more Tesla music.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And we're taking it 1 year at a time. You've heard of one day at a time?
Yeah.
Well, right now it's 1 year at a time. And if you're wanting new music, you know, Brian Wheat has Violet Breed and mm-hmm. he's got his new band Project Terminal. And myself, I'm a solo artist. I've got my guitar instrumentals and new music that I'm putting out. And so that'll hold you over in the meantime.
What's it like now to be able to connect with the fans online? Because, you know, you've got your website and you're making new music and
it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. Social media can be a lot of fun. You know, it can be addicting in a way. You have to be careful. You know, sometimes you got to take breaks with it, but it's fun to post videos on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, you know, because you can be creative and you can play some guitar or play a piece of a new song and put it out there and see what people think of it and get some comments. And you can interact with your loyal fan base, which, you know, we've become pretty connected with a lot of our loyal fans that come to our shows and communicate on social media.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Was it fun making the music video for Spread Your Wings?
Spread Your Wings music video.
The reason I'm asking is because I've talked to a few artists and Robin McCauley always stands out because he said he hates making music videos because he said it's because he's the vocalist and he hasn't got an instrument to keep himself busy with. So he finds himself wondering what to do with himself. So how do you find making music videos these days?
Well, that is true. If you become too self-conscious and if you're looking at the camera, but for me, the key to a good music video is the location. And the location of the Spread Your Wings video is filmed at a historic Georgetown Hotel and Saloon, which is up here in the mountains where we live. And that is the location that Jeff Keith, our singer, grew up in as a young boy, playing and singing music with his dad in the bar.
Wow.
And so since Spread Your Wings is a song about Sammy was low watching the show, wanting to get out of where he was at in his beginnings, we thought it was really cool to go to the Georgetown Hotel where Jeff Keith had his humble beginnings. And it's really cool. It's an old Western style saloon. So when I'm playing my guitar solo, I'm standing in front of all these whiskey bottles, you know, and it has a very Western, Old West cowboy feel to it. And so that makes it a lot easier. So tell your friend that when he's making music videos to just find a good location, and that'll take a lot of pressure off of him.
Well, I am so hyped for the video now as well. I'm going to be paying extra special attention to it.
It's a really cool location.
I've got to ask.
The Georgetown Saloon. And another video that I shot recently is for one of my solo songs called This Is Goodbye. And my wife plays an acting role in it, and it's in black and white. And the location of that video is at an old West cemetery that has a graveyard from the settlers that settled during the gold rush in 1849, right here in my neighborhood where I live in Northern California. And the vibe of the song is so mysterious, and the concept, This Is Goodbye, is so fitting in this location. And so if you get a chance, check that one out too. It's called This Is Goodbye by Frank Hannon.
Definitely will do. You've made me want to visit Northern California with these places now, because this
incredible. Northern California is beautiful. A lot of people don't realize Northern California is different than Southern California and Hollywood. And that's why I'm so grateful that we were able to stay here throughout our career. And it reflects in our music. Tesla is a blue collar, gritty band. Mm-hmm. And this area is a blue collar, gritty area where the cowboys settled during the gold rush. And it's definitely in the mountains, and Northern California has definitely got a different vibe.
Oh, it does. It sounds incredible. I will, before
come visit us sometime, huh?
I would love to, Frank. I would love to.
You got to visit South Lake Tahoe. It's gorgeous
up there. Oh, yeah. I mean, these are places just heard about and seen briefly on TV and movies and stuff. To actually be there would just be amazing. Although, you know, I'm sat here in Wales, and then we get people from America, and it's where you grow up. It just seems to be, I don't know, you can sort of not appreciate where you grow up sometimes. You got to stop and look around.
It's true. It is true. And then when you get older, you realize that your roots were there, and there's that familiarity and that feeling of this is home. And we've driven across the countryside there. We had mentioned the Def Leppard tour back in the day. We would be in a van and we would drive during the day. And I remember just seeing the stone walls and the beautiful countryside. It's gorgeous over there.
Oh, yeah. Before we wrap this up, just for the edit. We'll wrap it up soon just for the edit, but I've got to ask you a question, and you probably can't answer it, but I have to ask it. And I ask this to everybody to end the show. Is there any chance of you guys getting to the UK? And if you do, please don't forget North Wales.
All right. There's a much better chance of us getting over there now than there has been in the past 10 years. And I believe that would be because Frontiers, the record label, mm-hmm. is very excited about Tesla and very supportive of their artist. And if there ever was a chance for us coming back, it's probably going to be next year.
Yeah, they've recently
had to the label.
Yeah, they've had a big festival, and Frontiers bands have been on there. So yeah, fingers crossed I can get to meet you guys and see you back on stage again.
Yes, sir.
Definitely. Well, for the sake of the edit, Frank, we'll close this up. And I just want to thank you once again for spending some time with me. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And long may you and you guys and all of Tesla
continue. I appreciate
you. All right. Thanks again, Frank.
Thank you, Dave. All right.
And the alarm bell, as always, brings an end to another interview show. I've already got at least one other interview show lined up, so it's not going to be a year, he says. Hopefully. No, it will not be another year before I record another one, so watch out for those. And yeah, as always, like I said at the beginning of the show, support the bands, buy the music, buy the merch, tell your friends about them. And you can support us too. And the best way to do that is just tell your friends about us. We've got lots of different types of shows covering music and movies and video games. There's an upcoming board game show that I'm going to be recording next week. And there's a new show in the works, which will be coming out. It's going to be recorded at the end of the month. So watch out for all those shows and all the usual stuff that we do. So thank you for listening, and we will be back in your ears very, very soon.